Hello, family, and welcome back to the Explore the Extraordinary podcast. My name is Betty, and today I'm joined by Kashi Keefe. And Kashi is a conscious hip hop artist. I love his Instagram. I'm kind of fangirling right now. I met him through another conscious rapper friend of ours. We share a friend in common, Jay Clay. He's been on the podcast as well. And I'm always watching Kashi's videos about breath work and healing. And I'm so excited to have a conscious conversation today and to introduce you to our community at IONS. So I'm going to toss it right over to you to start sharing.
Oh, Betty, thank you so much for having me. Really, really love to be able to come and share, especially with people that are interested in some of these more what many would refer to as far out ideas and concepts and how to actually sustainably and practically apply these mystical experiences and these connections to the spirit energy. You know, the word spirit comes from the Latin word spiritu, which is breath. So spirit is breath. And I know many people ask, what's this thing on my nose? Well, it helps me spiritu, inspire, inspiration to breathe. And growing up, I didn't know how to breathe. And growing up, I think most people probably don't know how to breathe, except a very select few tribes of Native American Indians is what they found that have perfect teeth and like chiseled jaw lines, because their parents would cover their mouths and do everything they could in their formative years to get them to breathe properly. So I really just put such an emphasis on sharing the breath because it just excites me so much to talk about it, to be about it, to breathe about it, to share about it. And once again, thank you so much for having me here to talk. And the format seems that I'll just go on a bit of a tangent here, so I'll make that work. The first time I ever did breathing techniques was when I was down bad, just so fragile. I was in a state where I was just looking around at everything and everyone with this deep, something's missing, this deeply rooted just trauma and pain. And I had no outlet initially to move through that pain and actually experience the beauties of life other than using drugs and alcohol and that whole thing. I know that Betty is also in recovery, which is so amazing. So I've been what you would call my version of sober, which is utilizing coffee. That's technically a drug. I sometimes eat cake. That's a drug. So just using the drugs in moderation that don't destroy my life. And then there's some drugs that not only don't destroy my life, but very much so expand and awaken one to what life really is. So I think that's another thing that we'll touch on a little bit in this 15-minute journey that we're about to go on, that we're currently trotting. So before I did the breath, before I got into what it really means to polish the trauma body, to polish the auric field so that the subconscious mind, which is the space that's around your head, it's not inside your brain, subconscious mind's all around. So recognizing the effect of this breath, instead of me being here, just got out of a drug rehab because I signed myself into a drug rehab, because for years I had spent 3.5 years locked up in jails and institutions from ages of 12 on and off until age just turned 19. And you know, overdosed plenty of times. I've been in the hospital more times than you can count on at least one hand, for sure. Probably closer to two, though. And I say this with a smile because it's so funny to think that what I'm saying to you right now is true, because it doesn't really feel like it is anymore. Because that's such a, you know, we're talking about mystical experiences and death here. That's such like a dead expression of what was that's no longer physically displaying itself through this bundle of ever-changing, every couple months, renewing one's blood, skin cells, face cells, eye cells, memories, etc. That body that was at one point snorting lots of drugs and just completely had no regard for anybody except himself and was just so, so angry and hurt. That being is no longer here. Although it's here in the memories, it's not physically here. Took a lot of crying, a lot of crying, especially during breath sessions. Took quite a bit of psychedelics. And it's taken a lot of accepting what is and seeing things for what they are. And as the pain body arises, to be able to be present with that sensation, to let it move through. So after years of numbing myself with drugs and alcohol, having no real gauge on who I was, except I was this cool guy that listens to rap music and you don't want to fuck with me because I'm a bad guy. You're going to get hurt, which I didn't really hurt anybody. I just had a big ego and was delusional and brainwashed by the mainstream rap music, which is glorifying drugs and misogyny and violence and all this crazy stuff that makes you wonder how they let that shit go on the main news station. You know, the stations, like, this is what the kids are listening to, and it's not by coincidence, it's by design that, you know, they're propagandizing us with from a very young age with these very, very detrimental ideas, concepts, and normalizing and desensitizing a whole generation, myself included in that generation, and maybe you as well, to this atrocious, terrible, not conducive to God's love music. And I go into that story just so you have a little bit of an idea of why I care so much about the breath, why I care so much about the psychedelic integrative medicines, sacraments. So I am the founder of this really, really cool school. It's called the Breath Coach School, where we train facilitators to facilitate the Beyond Boundaries Breathwork Method. And we have a neuroscientist that teaches neurofeedback, an epigeneticist that sees how our genes are expressing themselves and how to optimize our genes expression through a bunch of different holistic modalities. We have Dr. Marvin, who is our doctor on staff, teaching about burnout. And then, of course, yours truly, the GED high school dropout, ex-criminal person that healed himself from borderline personality disorder, ADHD, depression, suicidal ideation, anxiety. And I think I said PTSD, but if I didn't, probably should say that shit twice. So we're this dream team of people who came together and just use our own little fairy dust of all the best things that worked for us. Dr. Marvin with the burnout, Dr. Tiffany with the all of the epigenetic peptide, hormone replacement therapies, etc. And then we have our sound healer, Philip, and our Qigong master, Jordan. We have a professional fighter, Garrett. Just everyone's bringing their little flavor of how one can facilitate transformational experiences and breaking people beyond the boundaries of the confines of the mind to unwind and untie and unbind their subconscious, their heart, their body from the pains of the past and the expectations that's not from our heart of the future. I know it's a mouthful. I feel like you probably might have felt part of it, if not all of it, deeply. So that has been the pillar in these, to do the breath work, to share the breath work. We've had countless retreats with, you know, hundreds of people now. I've been blessed to give the BUFO to, which I haven't touched on that yet. And then I would go as far to say it, well over 1,000 people we've done breath work with, either live, in person, being guest on different people's retreats, facilitating our own in-person Beyond Boundaries retreats. And all of this to say that this shit works. So BUFO, breathwork, when we initiate a near-death experience or a mystical experience on command to bring up parts of ourselves that otherwise are just dormant, because we're so in our box, normal, here we are. And then when we can expand the capacity of this box, Whoa, wait, it's sunny. Is that a dragon? What? So you expand the horizon and the capacity of us to experience. And that is where the magic is. So that's why Reciprocity's Respiration Nonprofit Foundation, we have Bufo and psilocybin as our sacraments. For those of you who don't know what Bufo is, it's 5-MeO-DMT, the Sonoran Desert toad secretion that when vaporized brings you into an immediate near-death experience, or what you could say is uniting with the oneness and dying and being reborn. Most people come out saying something along the lines of felt like a baptism. And I knew from the very first day that I actually knew before the first day that I was blessed to have met somebody that shared it with me, that there was something significant about toads. And I knew that I was going to be deeply and intricately related with toads. I didn't know why, but I had this ayahuasca experience where I was in the desert, but I wasn't in the desert. I was in my body in Orlando, but I saw the desert. I saw the red rocks, saw this just like beautiful vast thing, but there was like oceans of toads just like jumping and with so much like joy and intensity. And I didn't know what to make of it. And one thing led to another, and it became very clear after this crazy long sequence of unbelievable, what are the freaking odds types of synchronicities from meeting people along the path. And it all ended up to where UFO and breathwork are the main modalities that saved my life and that I love to share with the world. I'm not sure how close to 15 minutes I am, so maybe you'll just let me know.
I would love to start a conversation. Thank you so much. And you know what? I you really are a very eloquent speaker, and you're so in detail. Like all the questions that I was writing down as you were talking, you answered them all as I was writing them. But I really love the idea of exposing the community to the fact that there are different ways to achieve something like a near-death experience. And IONS is completely neutral, but me as just myself, as Betty right now, you know, like I am very intrigued by the fact that there are, I think you referred to them as sacraments, right? That are left here for us to experience some sort of spiritual awakening. And I think that in our society, we're so weighed down, like you said, like we're so inside this box that sometimes it's hard to look outside of it. And so for those of us who have found information, to be able to consciously share it with each other is such a beautiful gift, because we've all kind of found different puzzle pieces of this big, beautiful tapestry of spirituality and spiritual expansion and higher consciousness. And to be able to come together, I think, is such a beautiful gift. One of the things that I heard you talking about was, and I could really feel your love for your community. So I was wondering if maybe you could talk a little bit about soul family. Do you feel like the people that you collaborate with are part of the same spiritual tribe as you?
Yeah, yeah. You know, so I have an interesting take on this. So I feel as though that all of the people that you meet, including me meeting you through this screen, and then Betty, you and I, and now referring to you having through Jay Clay met you, I think that this is all just reflections of the same mirror. So I look at everybody as a bucket of light, and everybody as we're our own buckets of light. We come into contact with the people, places, and things that we do for a reason. And oftentimes, the reason is far beyond my pay grade, because sometimes that way is through war, through catastrophe, terror, natural disaster, enslavement, just the most atrocious, unfathomable, terrible experiences that humans can have. But of course, we're talking about in the way that, you know, our friends that we create music, and we're so blessed in America and probably many other places where we have these like freedoms and this abundance to express the divine love in our hearts in such a free way. So I think that everybody that I meet, it's certainly, I see them as a reflection of the divine, that there is a purpose and there's synchronicity. And I often just like feel in my heart, like, damn, we're so lucky because we don't have like bullets coming at us. And there's other reflections of us right now that are in way worse situations, and we're so damn blessed and spoiled. So anytime I think about the soul tribe, I'm like, yeah, I love my soul tribe, but I can't help but think about what about those people that are like, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Wow. I really, and you know what, kind of going off of this same pattern of thought about the purpose of pain and suffering, like you've gone through a transformational process. You've come out of jails, institutions, death, addiction, all of these things. Do you feel like there was purpose behind that for you? Can you speak a little bit to like, what's the meaning of life? Why is there suffering?
Yeah. Wow. You know what? I really do think that there was purpose. I'll just say in my experience, for in my terror that I experienced from seeing, I mean, I'll trauma bomb you right now just for like the relatable factor of it. You know, I've had experiences from the amount of dead people I know, you can't even count on like four hands. Amount of people I know that are in prison right now that I was like close to, it's quite a few. I was in love with multiple girls who overdosed. I helped clean up the blood from my friend taking his own life so his parents didn't have to see it. So like the list goes on. But around all of these happenings of just the most unreal, just like really painful, terrible, seeming in the moment types of experiences, I have to convince myself that there is a reason behind it all, and that there also was some things, talking about mystical experiences, where there's some synchronicities in the midst of all of this chaos and all the chaos, the craziness that's going on around you, the death, the disaster, the decay, the poverty, the things. There had been lots of what felt like God's guiding hand showing me along the way this sense of, you know, you'll have a synchronicity where it's like, oh my God, why did I just have this thought, this person, this crazy shit just happened. I just got out of this unbelievable rut. And I look at the clock and it's like 11:11 and I get goosebumps. And I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck is, did I really just like see that right now? And then I got away and it's 11:11 and here I am getting goosebumps. And that type of stuff happens way too much to even try to like keep track of. And I'm sure you probably can relate if you're watching this podcast. So I think that there has to be, I'll speak about for my life, there has to have been a guiding force. For sure, I feel as though on my path that even through the disaster and what seemed to be the sad parts, that there was a higher force behind that. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And, you know, I love the recognition of the contrast in the human experience. You know, you said it before that it's above our pay grade. We can't conceptualize why these things happen the way that they do. But I think one of the things of the alchemical process, especially when you've gone from one thing to the next thing, like when you've gone from caterpillar to butterfly, or even if you're somewhere in between, is that unwavering faith. You know, like we have tangible evidence of faith, right? Because we have pictures of us before and pictures of us after, and we know God exists. Like there's got to be a God or something like that could happen, you know? And I think that, you know, sharing this truth and sharing like from our own experiences, not necessarily claiming truth for everybody, although it seems like you've found a healing modality that has helped so many people. I'm wondering, did you, you know, I know that a big part of a spiritual awakening journey can sometimes be this insatiable thirst for knowledge and finding information. And so I'm wondering, was there other things that you found your attention turned towards that maybe now not so much?
Yeah, I think at different points I was very, very excited about, that's a good question. I think that at different points I was really excited about trying to understand every single religion and understand all of the different, like the Kabbalah, just trying to understand it all. I wanted to understand it all. And then there became a point where I felt like I was trying to force something upon myself based on feeling that this other part was insufficient. And then I just decided to, in a sense, accept my ignorance and try to and get in touch with my intuition. And instead of getting intuition and then paying to like my attention to all sorts of things, I just wanted my intuition to show me the way with certain things, instead of having to logically and intellectually wrap my head around all these different mysticisms and the history behind it. So I still go through phases of being very interested in different cultures' histories, and some cultures I deep dive more into. But I think before I was like obsessed with wanting to know it all, and it became where I couldn't like ground the one thing in based on trying to know it all. So that's I would say.
I love that response, and I identify a lot with it. You know, like that logical, reasonable part of my mind wants to find the answer, but my mystical part of my mind is like, no, just flow, like just be fluid. You don't need to know anything. So I really identify with that. I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about creativity in the spiritual awakening process. I'd love to hear more about how you came to be a conscious hip hop artist and what that process is like for you.
Yeah, that's a great one. I'll start it off with a lyric, okay? Could I remind you that you're divine and that all matter is spirit? God is every word, worm, smile, or fear, because it's omnipresent, as in it's inside of you. And no matter where you look there, you'll find the truth. Here's the proof. Be aloof at how it all came to be. Be at ease, bumble, and sing. Vibrating, elevating while we meditating, love and shaping clay by molding the flow, not contemplating, sending lucid waves when I'm giving thanks and praises. Internal pastures, I'm grazing, no pastor. Needle point focus, sip the straw source. Love is everlasting, and then the love it courses right through my temple. The body is so precious. No, it's not a rental. So respect the anahata and the mental. Clear all the drama with the free flow and aqua, ganga, river, kundalini rise, where the braids they quiver. Kiss the ground. That's the mother. You came from her. There's nothing but your shibuham. So that's the creative process, is that intuition. You just open yourself through getting into a yogic / qigong, whatever you want to call it. You get in tune with your chi, your prana, your life force energy, in whatever way that you know best. You get in tune with that. You pray for inspiration. You pray for humility. You pray for God to use you as a vessel to share love, to share creativity, to share what someone needs to hear, and to be the expression of love that somebody needs to see, feel, hear, taste, touch, and smell. So I would say that is really the creative process, is just opening yourself up to know that God's within everybody, and the God within many people is just needing to be woken up. And it's constantly waking up within all of us. So I'm not saying, oh, I'm some enlightened being and I'm like ascended or whatever. No, like I have to re-wake up God within me all the time. The mind can come, and then, you know, it tells you that you're insignificant, insufficient, whatever the shit says. But you just remember, like, oh, wait, no. There's a divine spark of God's love in my heart, and I'm here to reawaken that spark. And then you share it with the world. So that's how I look at the creative process.
Oh, man, I'm loving this. You know, it's so funny. I talked to Jay Clay before we met, and he was like, oh, you better have your energy on point, because Kashi's like energy. And my energy was not on point before we started recording, but now it is definitely aligned and so joyful and so gleeful. And, you know, witnessing somebody else's creativity, for me, that is God. That is spirit. That is the flow of the universe. Every second, our thoughts are creating things. And so when it can be channeled into some tangible piece of creativity, like a piece of music, something that so many people can identify with and resonate with, I love that. Do you feel like you're channeling when you are writing lyrics? Do you feel like it's coming from somewhere else?
Yeah, 1000%. And I think that everyone's channeling God, because God is love, and sometimes love upside down is fear and hate. So everyone's channeling God's love, even if it's in the unpleasant way of expressing it. Even war is channeling God's love in its own messed up way. But then people like Jay Clay or me or you yourself, with all these questions, just all the things that you do for the world, and anyone who's watching this who has any kind of uplifting somebody through your words or listening or your presence in general, that is channeling God's love, because there is you with the mind and the memories, and then there is the words that somehow so naturally pour out, or the lack of words that you know that now I need the lack of words, and just lovingly hold space for this person. So anyone who's watching this certainly is channeling. It's helped them.
Oh my God, I love that so much. Yeah, smiling at a stranger on the street, that's channeling God's love. I love that. I've never really looked at it that way. I just thought that it was an act of service. But yeah, it is more intertwined and a deeper level than that. It is channeling this universal love, this universal service. I love that so much. I feel like there's some question that I meant to ask, but I'm not exactly sure what it is. So I just want to open it up for you to share. Like, what is something that you feel really passionate about teaching? Like, what is it that you wish more people knew?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. So really, it's as simple as this, that we are the sum total of where our attention goes and where our energy flows. So when we have negative thoughts, when we have thoughts that are self-deprecating, self-limiting, they're perpetuated by, oh, I'm not enough. Oh, I couldn't do that. That's only for smart. Oh, that's only for creative people. Oh, that's only for only pretty people could get that. Only this person. I'm not that person. Mine, the one that I'm always working against, and I just have been destroying recently, is I'm unorganized. I need to hire someone to help me do the organizational stuff, which I ended up still having to do that. But still, I realized how limiting that was. It probably would have been organized enough if I didn't program the universe with constantly affirming that I'm unorganized and need someone to help me do basic organization. So we all have some kind of internal dialogue that's going on. And if we could make the percentage of that dialogue and the energetic emotion attached to it, for example, if you're saying I'm unorganized, if I'm here, I'm saying that I'm kind of feeling like something's missing. There's like an energy in your body that's like something's missing. I am not sufficient. It feels like anxious or like something's missing. So if we could have only maybe less than 20% of our emotions like that allowed, and then 80% of our emotions and thoughts are directed towards building and creating and bringing forth with our intention and our faith, our knowing, our certainty that there is a new timeline, there is a new thing that can be done. So, for example, what we teach at the Breath Coach School a lot is expanding our capacity through breath and through focused thought. And as we expand our capacity through breath, physically even expanding our capacity, expanding the length, width, and depth of your lungs, but then the capacity for us to stay focused on one thing at a time in a flow state, so that we're able to, instead of having those, I'm unorganized, and then you feel it in your body, I just can't do it, I'm unorganized. No, we bring ourselves back and we have a strategy of how to direct our attention, our energy in motion, so our thoughts with the elevated emotion, so that all the greatest things that we could ever dream of and that we're constantly painting with our mind and with our intention, our energy, we're painting this beautiful picture that does come to fruition if you attach an elevated emotion and you demolish the constant, incessant, self-deprecating thoughts and bad emotions that go with it. When we shake that shit out, reclaim our energy and attention at any moment that it's slipping away and it's back in the old loops of fearful of the future and regretting the past, fear of the future, regretting the past, we take it back from that, get present. And then if we can keep our life to about like 80% of consciously, actively breathing more life into the things that we actually desire and want more of, then I guarantee that all the things that you ever could want, pretty much all of them will come true, unless they're going to hurt people. I don't think you can manifest it that way.
Wow. My gosh. That was really well said. Super beautiful. I love your enthusiasm so much. I want to open up another kind of question. I want to talk about your experiences with Bufo or ayahuasca or whatever sort of sacred plant you'd like to talk about, and about the parallels between a near-death-like experience and, you know, having this sacrament experience. Is there anything that kind of sticks out for you that you think might be useful to share to our community?
Yeah. So there is an intelligence in everything and everyone, every what appears to be an inanimate object, and even in the poisonous secretion of this toad called the Bufalvarius toad. So you brew a few plants together and poof, there is this drink, ayahuasca, that brings you on this incredible, incredible journey. So I can't speak for ayahuasca at this point because I volunteered at this church for quite some time. And I don't think I would recommend for anybody to go there. It's very commercialized in many ways. So I only can speak about what I actively know and could for sure recommend, because finding a good ayahuasca shaman is something that I would highly recommend, just being very, very deliberate with about who you were to do that with if you were to do it. But in terms of Bufo, that is something that is up my alley and I feel has less potential complications. It's more of a new practice. And although some people say that they were throwing hundreds of toads in a campfire and dancing around the campfire, there's no real evidence of that. And I'm not sure. Something tells me that that's not true and that this is more of a new thing. Like my mentors would say that this is, you know, within the last 30 years, and what modern history would say is within the last 30, 40 years, probably by now, that this has been in existence that we know of. And I love it because it's so simple. It's so easy. There's no like hours and hours and hours of who knows what's going to happen. Because when you're doing the ayahuasca in a place like that, I was doing it at Soul Quest Church of Mother Earth in Orlando. I'm not saying go there. I'm not saying don't go there. I'm just saying use your own discernment. I think I had a great times there, but there's just, you know, there's, you're invoking spirits and you do want personalized attention to have a shaman that's going to help you through it. No, I'm not a shaman. I am not a healer. I am none of that. I am a facilitator that I share what works for me and what worked for me. And Bufo is very, very simple, because I think just with the basic protections and the basic invocation of, I'm not saying this in a religious sense, but like Christ, love, whatever the original primordial light of the universe, invoking that with good intentions. I've, you know, after hundreds of times giving Bufo to people, never had anything really bad happen. So at this point, I'm very, very confident in just knowing that only, for the most part, I have not yet to have anything that was bad. And anything that was frightening ended up actually adding to one's growth. And they completely, you know, without me having to say that, said that, yes, no, this hard experience, it brought some shit up for a few months, but it was the best few months of my life and I've grown so much. So I think that like pushing ourselves to our limits, but just knowing yourself, listening to your intuition, don't go and do a bunch of psychedelics necessarily if you feel as though you're just like chasing a dragon and you want to like go meet God, because you could end up like I did. I've spent months in a what they would say in a schizophrenic state, which I wouldn't really call it that. I would just say I was in tune with the energy of life in a way that I wasn't actually in a grounded way ready to handle all of that. Talking to animals, like birds just like circling around me and following, walking around with me, crazy, crazy shit. And I wasn't ready for all that. So as with the good, like the birds talking to me and being there with me, there comes the bad. So I would say just anytime with psychedelic sacraments, just be aware, ask yourself, only do it if you feel like there's a real reason for you to do it, like you're called to do it, like you have this deep knowing in you that you've been neglecting parts of yourself and you haven't an inkling of a thought, like, you know, I'm listening to this guy talk right now and it sounds like this thing that he's talking about is for me. If you don't feel that way, like, don't force yourself to do psychedelics. But I will say, which applies to everybody, is with the breath, you can bring yourself into near-death experiences with the breath. And I would go as far as to say that that's got to be good for everyone, unless you're one of the few people that have some kind of counterindicating, potentially hazardous thing because of like a heart amputator. Oh man, there's this device that's placed in your heart, and they say not to do certain breathing patterns with it. So there is a breath for everybody, even if you have the things that they say don't do the intense breath works. There's a breath that will change your life, absolutely, 1,000%. Because the only thing that you have and I have perfectly in common forever and from the day we're born until we die, which we may not actually have to die and we can actually keep the body, maybe, is our breath. So just really, really getting serious about acknowledging, yo, the one thing that's constantly active, whether you like it or not, from the moment you were born, is your breath is flowing. So that really important thing to bring forth the most conscious use and directing of this breath, of the spirit, of the energy within yourself. And yeah, I would say that's the main takeaways from that. Only do the psychedelics if you feel like you really are called to it. And everybody should totally do breath work.
Wow. Thank you so much. And yeah, you know, I also love, there's so many different ways to get to altered states of consciousness that don't involve any sort of outside substance. Meditation, breath work, like these are tools that we all have access to. They're free. You know what I mean? Like it's just, and I think that that's a really important message as well. And thank you for the information around the psychedelics, because not everybody has access to that kind of information. People hear these things and they don't really know. And I kind of like that you prefaced it with a little bit of a warning, and also to remember to follow your own intuition and your own guidance. You know, like I know for me, for the rest of my journey, that's not part of my journey, and that's okay. And I'll follow my intuition. My ego wants to think something else, like, no, man, go get messed up. It'll be totally awesome. Like see God again. But I see God in this connection right now. You know, like I see God in this moment that we're sharing with each other. And I think that that's so powerful. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come and serve our community at IONS. And I just want to see if there's anything else that you'd like to share to feel more complete about our time together.
No, other than I just love all of you and thank you for having me. I think I feel complete. Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
Okay. See you next time.